Okay, well, Hebrews chapter 11, and I was looking today. It's hard to believe this is lesson 15 already, and so we've been 15 weeks in the book of Hebrews, and maybe we'll have three more weeks. Looks like maybe three more, and then we'll finish the book of Hebrews. So I hope you've learned something. I hope it's built your faith. Hebrews chapter 11. We're not going to look at the entire chapter here, but last week we were a little bit here at the close of the lesson in chapter 10, where we talked about not drawing back. In verse 38 there of chapter 10, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." And you take that along with verse 6 of chapter 11, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." There's no safety or strength in the Christian life except by having strong faith. As we're going to see this morning, there's some people that live by faith and they escaped a lot of things. But the fact of the matter is, there's not this Joel Osteen belief that if you believe in God and you just trust him, everything's going to be hunky-dory, great, and you're not going to have any bad. Because the truth of the matter is, there's some people that suffered and died and they still did that by faith. They believed by faith. But the great thing of the entire thing of faith is that our hope is the long view in the resurrection, and it's because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And so we're going to look at that. In chapter 11 now, we're shown the key to all life for all of God's saints is faith. Is faith. We live by faith. And we see the basis of what God did for these people was by faith. Was by faith. And, we talk about in science the fact that we have five senses, seeing and taste, smell, sound, what's the other two?
Hearing.
Touch, and what?
Hearing.
And hearing, all right. There's a spiritual sixth sense that God gives to us, and that is faith. Faith. Faith sees what can't be seen, but it is real. It believes that it's real, because its basis is upon a God who keeps his promises. And he doesn't lie. And so it is, that's our sixth sense, all right? Now, I want to take Hebrews chapter, the whole chapter, we're going to go through it this morning, Lord willing. And we're not going to look at every single individual, but we're going to make some comments about them because they fit into certain periods of time that God's chosen out to show us about folks that lived by faith in certain times when God spoke. Remember, in the past, he spoke by angels. He spoke by the prophets. He spoke to the prophets, and he spoke to the patriarchs and all of that. So we're going to look at that today. Now, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." And what I first of all this morning, before we even look at these people, is look at a dissected definition of the word faith. On the board, I have here face value, and that's kind of the lesson for us. Because remember, this great cloud of witnesses, it's not that they're looking at us as much as we're looking at their testimony. And so if we look at these five words in verses 1 and 2, it gives us a bigger view, I think, of what faith is. Now, it's interesting that this word, this verse has been taken and has been used so much, hasn't it? Faith, and a definition of faith, extended definitions. And so I want to look at that maybe a little bit this morning. But faith, the word faith in English is faith. And pistis is the Greek. And then you have substance is a substance. And hypostasis. And then is hope. And this is a word we looked at before. Elpizo. And we looked at that in chapter 10. Remember in the verse that some of the Bible versions changed already. But it's verse 23 there in chapter 10. "Let us hold fast to the profession of our," and the actual word there is not pistos, but it's hope. Okay, and that's the same word that's used here in this chapter. And then the evidence is elekos. If I'd written these in Greek, I could read them, but you couldn't. All right, so I have trouble reading the English. But I know that's a chi, it's a K there, or an X, actually, in Greek, elekos. And then report is martyrio, which is the word from which we get our word martyr. So instead of, I'm not saying we need to change, I'm not changing anything in the translation, but I don't know why they chose the word report
when we could use the word testimony here. Their testimony, they obtained a good testimony or witness. And that's what a martyr is, somebody who has a witness, their testimony. So let's go back and look at these very quickly. Faith, first of all. Faith there is pistis, which is a confident belief directed toward God and the fact that He is trustworthy. Basically, it's the assurance that God, because God has done this in the past, He is going to do that in the future. Because God did this for these witnesses, He is able to do that for me today. And it's based upon His word, and I trust His word. So that's what faith, what kind of the faith part is. The second word, hypostasis, is substance. This word is used 5 times in the New Testament. It's used 3 times in the book of Hebrews, but it's translated a little bit differently. Let's go back and see the first time it's used. Chapter 1, verse number 3. You remember this? Here, when it just talking about the Lord Jesus. If I can turn my pages. Chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible says, "Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person." The word person there is actually this hypostasis, substance. He is the exact image of whose substance? The Father's substance. Okay? That's the same word in the Greek as the word used here in faith. Okay? The second time it's used in Hebrews, of the 3 times, is in chapter 3, in verse 14. The Bible says here in verse 14, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." And the word confidence is the word substance or hypostasis, same word that's used here in chapter 11. So we take that all together, and we may say that faith is the grounding substance from which our assurance or our confidence comes. So faith is our grounding substance. It is the substance. It's what grounds us of the confidence that we have. Now, we take the next word there, which is hope, elpizo. And this word, as I already said, is seen in chapter 23 there. Or excuse me, not chapter 23, chapter 10, verse 23. And it's the expectation of desire. It's not something, I'm not hoping in something that's fluff or a bubble, but it is a substance. It's actually, I have this confidence, this desire that what I believe in is going to be fulfilled. I go back to that illustration of Miss H and her brother when they'd unwrap the Christmas presents and then wrap them back up. And their parents never figured it out. But they had a hope, and it was based upon the assurance they knew what was under the tree. Now, we have the assurance based on the assurance of what God says in His word is true. And when we talk about the book of Hebrews, the fact is that the way has been opened up for us in the heavenly tabernacle. And we have access to God the Father 24/7, and we have boldness of speech before Him because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's based on that. It's not something pie in the sky by and by, but it's reality. And we believe that. So it's the hope. For the Hebrews, it's the fulfillment of God's promises. The fourth word there is elegkos, which is evidence or proof or confidence. It's proof. So he says here, it's the proof of things not seen. That's what faith is. Then we look at the last word there, by faith, the elders obtained a good martyo, which is a good testimony. I didn't say Martino. No. I wouldn't put faith in Martino. But we're talking about a good witness or testimony there. Marturio. So by faith, they received a testimony. Who did they receive a testimony for? Well, I thought about this. We all are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And what we do by faith, don't we? And we obtain a good report because we believe God. So before God, they received a good testimony. But the fact of the matter, when you go forward to chapter 12, this cloud of witnesses, their testimony is they believed God. They believed him, and they obtained, some of them obtained the promises, some of them didn't, we'll see. Okay, but they all did that by faith. So, if I could take all of that together and give you a full definition, here's what I wrote. All right, I'm going to write it. Now, faith, the confident belief in God's ability to carry out his purpose, is a substance, the foundational basis or essence underlining any attitude of assurance that of the things hoped for, our certain expectation that God will make good on his promises, the evidence of things not seen, the personal conviction that what is at the present is not yet personally seen, enjoyed, or grasped will become objectively realized in the future. What I don't see now, I will obtain in the future. So it's taken that long view. It's that, like Brother Parker says, we live for eternity. And every person in this report or testimony that we're given here took the long view. They believed by faith. And they believed that God was going to keep his promises. So let's begin by looking at verse number 2. The Bible says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, this is interesting. I learned something this week about how this verse takes us all the way back to chapter 1. Because the Bible tells us there in chapter 1, sorry, you got to go back there again, in verse number 2, it says, that his son made the worlds. That's what it says. It says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, we're not talking about planetary systems here, but actually it's talking about the ages. All of the ages of past and future and to come, are now and the future, were made by Jesus Christ. Okay? So he says, we believe all this, that he made the worlds. If you want to take an application of it, he did make everything. You know, we believe that by faith. And that faith is an assurance that God kept his word. He's not lying to us in Genesis 1:1 when he made heaven and earth. All right? He keeps his word. So it all goes back to that. Now, what the author does then from there through the rest of the chapter, he selects illustrations that illustrate how God spoke in time past. So he's showing us the people in the past believe by faith, but you in these last days, since God has spoken to us by his son, have a more steadfast, have a more sure word, if you want to put it that way, than what they did. But their word was sure, but they didn't see as much as what you've seen. As much hadn't been revealed. The mystery that God would be in us wasn't revealed to them. It was there, but it was covered. But when Christ came, it revealed the fact that not only had God chosen the Jew, but he'd also chosen Gentiles that we could be in also because of Jesus Christ. So this is what he's going to talk to us about here, how God spoke to us by angels, by patriarchs, by leaders, by priests and prophets. So the first section here in verses 4-7 deal with how God spoke prior to the patriarchs to people. And he's chosen three different people here. The first one was Abel. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now, how did Abel know what to sacrifice or what to offer to God? Brother Matt Pringle and I had a discussion about this. He said his son Max was really, he said he's a real thinker. He thought about this. And I don't know if this is true or not, but it's something to think about. Cain offered from the fruit of the ground. What do we know about the fruit of the ground? God had what? What had he done to it? He cursed the ground. He offered something cursed. Now, animals, of course, were not of the ground, but I have to, this is maybe where it falls down, because God did cause them to come out of the earth. He called them out of the earth, all right? The animals. But he said it wasn't, the animal kingdom was not Well, no, it wasn't cursed. The animals, the curse came on them. They die because of what Adam did. That's why they die. So he said, and that's probably where it falls apart. Don't take that for literal. But the fact of the matter is, he did offer a blood sacrifice. And somebody, the angel of the Lord, perhaps had told them and showed them, because Adam and Eve, when he slayed the animals to make coats for them, it was showing them without the covering, the blood covering, there was no remission for sin. There was no way to put it away. So what he does here is he shows us that God keeps his promises, and what he says, you do by faith. So Abel did that by faith. Abel worshiped properly by faith. The second one that's given to us is Enoch. Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, this witness, this martyro, that he pleased God. How did he do that? By faith. He walked with God by faith. How long did he do that? Bible scholar, my Old Testament Bible scholar, Mrs. Watson, do you remember? After his son was born, how long did he walk with God? At least 300 years he walked with God. All right, and he did that by faith. And then God, of course, took him. He had that testimony. So he walked with God. And then we go to Noah. Noah was warned of God of things not seen. He moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Righteousness is by faith. He believed God. He believed his word, and he obeyed. And God said, it's righteousness to you because you have obeyed me. And so Noah, he walked and he worked. He built that ark. And so what they did because they believed the witness. God personally didn't come to them, but he spoke to them by angels prior to the patriarchs. During the patriarchs, then, we look at them, we pass to Hebrew history in verse number 8. And this runs all the way from verse 8 to verse 22. And there's a long section here given to the father of the faithful. And I want to call Abraham a believer, because he was a believer. Do you believe that? Let's look at Galatians, and I'll show you that for sure. Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians 3. And it starts in verse 6. The Bible says, even as Abraham believed God. So he's a believer, all right? And it was accounted to him for what, class? Righteousness. There it is again. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, would that be you and me? Okay. The same are the children of whom? Abraham. All right. You see, that's where the Gentiles are not something different from the Jews. We've been brought in. There's no longer Jew or Greek, but there's one new man. We've been brought in. All right. For the scripture in verse number 8 says, for seeing that God would justify the heathen, that's us, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, hey, here's the gospel. In thee shall all nations be blessed. And who is the seed of Abraham? Of course, we know that Christ came through that line. So we're blessed. So then, verse number 9, they which be of faith are blessed with, here it is, faithful Abraham. So Abraham's given a whole big section here in this chapter. And Abraham's this discussion, in the beginning there, we see a brief, back in Hebrews 11, a brief overview of the covenant again, and the Abrahamic covenant. They was called to go out to a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance. He obeyed and went out, knowing not whither he went. So the origin of the Abrahamic covenant is highlighted, along with Abraham's willingness to be a charter member of this group called by faith. All right. So he was the one that began it. He had to also have a long view instead of a short view about this thing. Because the fact of the matter is, Abraham God told him, go north, south, east, west, walk all over it. It all belongs to you. I'm giving it to you. But in Abraham's lifetime, did he have it? No. Because the Canaanite and the Perizzite and all the other Zites were in the land, right? It didn't belong to Abraham at that time. So he had to believe by faith, not having obtained the promise, that it was going to be for his descendants. Now, the only promise that he did receive, and he had to endure patiently until he received it, was his son, the promised seed, which was who? Isaac, okay? Isaac, meaning laughter. So he did receive that. But we see here his whole life summarized in the fact that by faith he left Ur of the Chaldees. By faith he offered Isaac his son on the altar. Remember, he did that by faith, and he was going to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord said, don't, stop. You know, but he did it by faith. He said, I see you love me and you believe me rather than what you're doing by sight. And so he obtained the promises due to his obedience. That's the key. His obedience to God. And he didn't see their fulfillment, but he knew that they were going to be that way. So for Abraham, difficulty was transmuted into triumph by his faith in God. By his faith. Now, you go to the, I'm going to have to turn my page here. We look at the rest of the patriarchs here, and that would be Isaac is in verse 20. It says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. He didn't obtain the promise either. He got the Abrahamic covenant, but did he get the land? Did he have it right then? No, dwelling in tents. What were they looking for? What was the whole thing? What were they looking for? For a city whose builder and maker is God. Ultimately, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for the if I want to say it this way, the Messianic kingdom is really what they were looking for. Because when heaven comes down, the kingdom of God comes down, that's what they're looking for. And God, and when the Messiah reigns, and isn't that what the Jews were always talking about? When's the Messiah going to come? When are we going to get the kingdom? But Abraham believed by faith that it was to come. So he took the long view. His son took the long view concerning things to come. And then we have Jacob here in verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. If we could go back to Genesis and see that blessing, some of those things are even still today being revealed about Asher and oil. Jeff Lewis will tell you all about that if you want to hear about it. But in the area that Asher had, there's every indication that there's oil there, isn't there? There's oil. So he was talking about petroleum in Genesis. And he did that by faith. And it's just now in these last days. And he talked about the last days, didn't he? What was going to happen to them in the last days. So there again, some of those promises, they took the long view, you know, that they were going to be fulfilled. And he did that by faith. The last one of the patriarchs, if you want to put it that way, would be Joseph in verse 22. The Bible says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Did the promised land belong to the Jews then? No. But he believed, I want you to bury me there. I want to be buried in the promised land. There was a bunch of heathen there at the time. And the only plot of land that they owned was that one which Abraham got. All right? But he believed God. He believed by faith. And so this is what we see about the patriarchs. They looked to the future and uttered confidence in the promises of God. God's trustworthy. Now we move from them to the models of the Exodus generation. And that's in verse 23. We start with Moses. Moses here is the big person in the Jewish mind, right? He is the one, the prophet that the Messiah would like unto the Messiah, all right? Like unto me, just like me, all right? And we know that Moses is mentioned in the book of Hebrews. We already talked about that. So Moses, in his immediate and his extended sphere of influence upon the Jews, is great. It starts with an example of his home life and his parents, Amram and Jochebed. And we know that those two, the Bible says here in verse 23, by faith, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. Didn't mean he was a good boy, but they just saw in him there's something unique. There's something about this boy that's different. God gave him an insight. There was a preacher one time that said, I heard him preach a message. He said, sometimes God will do this to you. He'll let you see something. He'll go like, and then he'll close it back up. And that happened to me, actually, with that lady right there. We were in freshman speech class, big class, all right? I was sitting next to her. Didn't know her. We was talking. And I had a girlfriend back home, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And you may think this is crazy. You may think I'm you know, from outer space. But I was sitting there, and it was like, she's going to be your wife. And then it closed back up. That was when I was a freshman. We didn't get engaged until... You're laughing. She's laughing about this. She didn't get visions like that, like I did.
Your visitor was a nightmare.
No. But it really, but it did. And that thing came to pass, as is now evidenced after 31 years. Yeah, shortly to come. 31 years. You know, and I was gravitated back to her, and we got engaged and all that. And I asked God, I said, would you let her be my wife? I prayed that. But I knew when I prayed it, I was praying in the will of God. I had that confidence in my heart. Okay? And this is what these people had. Amram and Jochebed, it's like, oh, there's something about this boy. There's something we don't need to throw him away. We don't need to obey the king. This one we're going to hide. We're going to keep him. And God had an eternal purpose for that, because that was the boy that was going to lead his children on the exact day that they went into Egypt out. And God had that plan, and he spoke to the parents' heart. And by faith, they did that for 3 months. That's hard to do. You know, can you imagine? Because all the boys were supposed to be out. They were supposed to be, you know, thrown away. I don't know, they put a pink bow on his head or something? You know, oh, look, they made it look like a boy. I don't know, for 3 months. But God, I think God hit him too, don't you? He hit him. When he was crying, wailing, oh, watch out, be quiet. Nobody around, neighbors didn't hear it. I don't know, but God hit him. If he could hide Elijah from Ahab in Israel, he can hide a baby if he wants to. But the point came, and the time came when he couldn't be hidden, and God's purposes had to be accomplished, and you know all that. We're not going to go into that. So he does end up, however, we know, in Pharaoh's house. And he, the Bible says, by faith, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, we see here that the faith that his parents had was not enough to save him. He had to have his own faith. And his own faith was based upon the fact that I am not an Egyptian, I am a Hebrew. And he saw what was going on there. You know, he went for that walk. And he chose rather, the Bible says, to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So what kind of view did he have, Glass? A seasonal view or the long eternity view? Or he had the eternity view. He did. So he saw eternally. He said, this is by faith upon the promises of God. And I guarantee you somehow God instructed him. He knew. He had access to libraries. And I'm sure he had access to some kind of the Hebrew scriptures. And he was able to see what had happened in the past. All right. And to know that God's word was true. As a matter of fact, his fleeing to Midian was not by fear, it was by faith. Because you'll notice here that the Bible says in verse number 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Now we've been told, and you've been told, well, he was trying to get out of town because Pharaoh was going to kill him. Doesn't say he was afraid of the king. He did it by faith. He left by faith. He understood that he was somehow by God that he even when he killed the man, he said he thought they'd understand that God had appointed him to be the leader.
However, I think Moses had still a little bit of pride. And that's why it didn't work. But he left by faith. He knew there's a purpose of God in his life. He didn't fully understand it yet until the burning bush. Then he knew. And then was he fearless? Huh? No. He said, I can't do this. There's no way. I'm not eloquent. I can't speak. He didn't want to do it. But God had a purpose on his life. And so he went to Midian by faith. He maintained his future God-based perspective. And throughout all of his ministry, he continued by faith as seeing him who is invisible. That's how he did it, by faith. Now, the next thing we see is verse 29. When Moses was used of God to, they passed through the Red Sea as on dry ground, which the Egyptians trying to do or saying to do were drowned. Now you'll notice here that there's a whole period of Hebrew history skipped. And what period is skipped? You got the Red Sea and then you're talking about Jericho. What skipped? Huh? The 40 years of wandering. And what did God say earlier in this book about that 40 years of wandering? What did God say about it? So then we see they could not enter in because of what? That's why it's not there. No faith, no belief. So it's not listed. So we pick up with the other leader, and that is Joshua. And Joshua now is at Jericho. And Joshua believes by faith because he met the captain of the angel of the Lord. And of course, here, Joshua led them faithfully. He followed God's orders to circle Jericho once a day, 7 days, the seventh day, seven times. And by faith, the walls fell down. They fell outward. And so that every man went right up before him into Jericho. And it happened by faith. And then there's one inhabitant of Jericho that's mentioned, and that is Rahab. Rahab believed by faith. You see, she perished not with them that believed not, the Bible says, when she had received the spies with peace. And we know all about that. We know about the scarlet cord that she bound in the window. By faith, she did that. And I don't know, when I've taught through here before, I could just see this, imagine this in my mind. You get the walls that have all fallen out here. I'm drawing on the board, except for this one spire. Her house was on the top, all right? There's that one. It was pretty easy to find Rahab and her household. That one part of the wall didn't fall. Her house was on the wall. Have you ever seen pictures like that? I mean, do you ever stop and think about these things? It's great. God let everything fall except that house. You know, and that wall was pretty wide. You could drive two chariots wide on it. So there's her house. Go get her, boys. You know, they knew where to go. Now they had to rappel to get up there. And they rappelled to get down. Or maybe they stuck a big ladder up there. But I don't know what they did. But they saved her. And it was by faith she was saved. Nobody else believed. But she was saved by faith. And if you take it to the furthest extent, she had the eternity view. And God writes her as in the line of the Messiah. Wow. By faith. By faith. So that's the Exodus group. Now, we go on then and go to verse 32. And what he does here is he says, man, I'm just kind of out of time. And that's the way I feel this morning. I just got to get this done now, all right? So he says this, and what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. So we see four judges here that are mentioned. And then we have David, a king. And we know what David did. You know, he said, by you, I've leaped over a wall. Humans don't jump over walls. By faith, he did that. And a bow of steel is broken with my arm. I mean, we just don't have that super strength. By faith, he did that. By faith, God helped him to leap over the wall. David did. And so we see all these things, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. Now we know there, of course, we're probably talking about Daniel, but it definitely could be David because he did kill a lion, all right? And so, and then it says, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, we're made strong. Wax valiant in flight and fight. Turn to flight the armies of the aliens. And so we see several things here. And finally, he passes to from these personalities and deeds accomplished by faith to what we'll call the last section here, which is models of faith amid trials. And just because we exercise faith in God does not mean everything's going to come out all right now. Because these people that are listed here, they suffered. And in some cases died. The Bible says in verse 35, women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. So here we see that just because we live by faith doesn't give us automatic immunity from suffering. It will happen. But we have a hope that's steadfast and sure. We have a hope of the resurrection because of Jesus and what he did, because he was resurrected. I'll be like him. I will be resurrected. And this corruptible will put on incorruption. Everything that modern man wants today, long life, live forever, God's provided for you free. It's a free gift. It's in Christ. And the world is looking for that. They want the fountain of youth and they want superpowers. Hey, as long as I'm in the Lord Jesus Christ, I have everything. And everything belongs to me. And it's by faith that we believe that. So God, in the last two verses, explains the final goal of faith. He says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. And there's that martyro again, that witness, a good witness through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. What are we talking about there? The Old Testament prophets and all those people in the Old Testament are waiting for us who've obtained the promises so we can all be together. Because they live by faith, and I live by faith. And I live by the faith of the promises that God's given me, which are exceeding great and precious promises now, because the Son has come. Because he of what he's done for me, we have it in reality, we have it so much better. And truth has been opened up so much more to us than it was to them. But they didn't see everything, but they believed. They believed God, and they did it by, they obeyed him. And so it comes to you and me, Jesus Christ has done so much for us, and we have such great promises, and we need to believe by faith. We need to live by faith. We need to obey God by faith, because there's no limit to what God can do through people that will just believe him and believe his promises and believe his word. And so we don't want to be of those who say, back up in unbelief. We don't want to go that way, because we want God's favor. We want his blessing. Just like faithful Abraham, he believed and God counted it to him for righteousness. We believe, and I already have his righteousness because I'm in Christ. But so much the more, I have an accounting, like all of us do, to stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and give an account for my life. Did I live it by sight, or did I live it by faith? Did I walk by faith? God says, what pleases me the most is to live like that. And he's given us examples when he spoke, when people didn't have all his word. Abel didn't, but what light he did have, he obeyed. And what light I have and what you have, we ought to obey. Amen? All right, let's pray. Brother Martino, would you pray?